counted among the outlaws, he said, "Come, follow me." People from all walks of life since have been becoming outlaws.
Hey, all, welcome. If you are on Amy Scobie's YouTube channel, a shout out to you, and you're on the right place. I'm not Amy Scobie, and she's okay. Nothing's wrong. She's going to be on in a minute. You are on the Becoming Outlaws podcast, which is available on all major podcast platforms. You can look it up, subscribe. And what we do here is we engage celebrities, scholars, diverse voices, in this case, Amy, in candid conversations about following Jesus, defying societal norms, and exploring profound and sometimes not profound questions of faith. So the Church of Scientology, what is happening? They often get a lot of negative press, but lately it's been kind of off the rails. Are they imploding? That's what we're going to talk about a little bit. We're also some of the headlines with Amy. We're going to hear a bit of Amy's story. And this is a chance for you to take, Amy will be taking live questions from you. So if you have any questions about Scientology, Amy's experience, get your questions ready. If you're watching on some of the platforms, I have it on my Facebook. You can share that feed so other people will have a chance to hear what she has to say. And do it. Social. Be social, people. And the top shares tonight of this live broadcast will receive a free Dianetics session. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. Amy Scobie, author of Scientology Abuse at the Top, worked at the highest echelons of the Scientology organization and managed the Celebrity Center Network. After 27 years, she finally broke free in 2005 and has been exposing Scientology's rampant human rights violations ever since. Her story was the catalyst for the Emmy Award-winning TV series Leah Remini's Scientology and the Aftermath. And Amy recently launched a YouTube channel at QueenB-SP, which I'm sure she'll talk about. It's doing very well, detailing the organization's dark side. Welcome, Amy.
Hey. Hi, Ken. How are you?
Very good. Glad you're back. This is fun. You're a pro at live. This is my first live. Amy had to talk me through it.
Oh, this is your first live. Well, we have the best community, I'm telling you. So they're forgiving. But I don't know about that free Dianetics session. I can tell you that. I thought, oh, good. Everyone's going to go somewhere else now.
Yeah, no free Dianetics. Sorry.
No. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm really... Okay, everyone who knows me, you know, thank you for being here. And, you know, I'd like to call out some of the places you're watching from because it's all over the place, which is wonderful. But this is my friend Ken, and he's got an awesome podcast. And I did an interview with you. What is it, a year ago now?
It's about a year, probably a little less.
Yeah, about a year ago. And, you know, I love your podcast. You've got such diverse everything there. And, you know, I was pretty proud because the trailer to my video was one of your best until the American heartthrob,
John Schneider. Beat you on TikTok.
Yes, he was Bo Duke on Duke of Hazzards, and he was like in the 70s. He was every girl's dream. So, yeah. But anyway, your content is fantastic, and I'm happy that you have an interest in Scientology as well, because for the people who watch your channel, and you've got lots of subscribers across all kinds of different channels, I want them to be able to know what goes on in Scientology and, you know, some of the things that we've been working to expose. And I think that we're starting to make some headway on really raising the awareness and maybe even getting some justice.
Yeah. So, and I like to always, I focus on Scientology. There's other religions or organizations I'd consider cult. And I always like to say when I start that this isn't against people. This is because we care about people. we're not against the Scientologists. We don't like any organization, and people can believe what they want to believe and whatnot. And it's not about fighting other people's worldviews and their beliefs and religion. It's about human rights.
Yeah.
And the constitutional rights and people being abused. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. You know, that's the whole reason why I started speaking out, because as soon as Scientology said, okay, if you're not going to cooperate, we're going to take your mom from you. We're going to force disconnection. And meantime, their PR puppet spokesperson, Tommy Davis, was on CNN saying, we don't practice anything like disconnection, which is right in their policies. And it's such a bald-faced lie. And I was in the midst of the worst disconnection situation with my mom, who was trying to fight it, but then her husband was still in. And so she had to make a decision between her husband and her livelihood and being able to be connected with her daughter. What kind of a choice is that? Right. You know, it's a basic right.
Amy, let's start. I assume a lot of people on your YouTube channel, I mean, they know what Scientology is, and they're supporting you, and they want to hear the updates and everything. And we'll get to that, but let's do a quick high view, especially for some of my folks, that all you know about Scientology is that a lot of celebrities are involved and there's some kind of big blue building in California, mm-hmm. and you hear rumors of them harassing people that leave. That's pretty much your knowledge. You need like an elevator speech of what is Scientology.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All you need to know is that they have a big blue building. Yeah, right. That there are some celebrities who are full of delusion, delusion of grandeur, that they think that they're in a group that's saving the planet. No, anyway, really, I mean, there isn't much to know about Scientology other than it was a science fiction writer that wrote a religion, because he said, if you want to get rich quick, start a religion. And he did. And he was a writer, and he just wrote, and some of the stuff caught on, like originally from his book Dianetics, that if you try to read it, you're pretty much going to sleep through it. But some people found it helpful. And from there, started individual churches and called it Scientology, when now you're dealing with the spirit. But anyway, it's really just a bunch of gobbledygook. And I hate to give it like any sort of legitimacy whatsoever, because it is a cult. Like if you look at the entire definition of a cult and say it has 100 points, well, Scientology fits 101 of those. So, you know, it's just a destructive cult that lures people in with basic things like, you know, we help improve relationships, or we will, you know, improve your communication or give you skills for life. And they have these little basic courses that cost almost nothing, and they love bomb you, and you get in there and you start becoming, you know, having friends that you make there, and everybody is just like really welcoming you in. And as you get further and further in, you're paying more and more money and giving them more and more of your time. You're giving them your kids. You're giving them everything of your life. And then you're shamed. And if you ever disagree or try to break away, they will attack you and come after you and won't stop. So that's what a lot of the lawsuits, they currently have 5 lawsuits against them that I'm aware of. There may be more, which address some of these things.
Yeah, and that's based on the fair game policy.
Just some of them. Some of them are the fact that they are obstructing justice, the fact that sex trafficking. There's a sex trafficking lawsuit. There's child labor violation lawsuit. There's the fair game that Leah has, and also the Jane Doe's on stalking them and harassing them when they were trying to get some justice. And then a grand jury on obstruction of justice on the last case with the Jane Doe's, which found Danny Masterson guilty as a serial rapist.
Yes.
And Scientologist in good standing.
Now, any church can have a bad apple in it. It doesn't necessarily reflect on the church. But the reason this one looks so bad is that it's the cover up for years or the protection of criminal activity. Is that right? Like with
precisely. Yes. He's been in good standing the entire time. And the Jane Does who were Scientologists who came forward, they were put through the ringer for even suggesting that their prized celebrity had something wrong with him. And they even threatened to go to the police, and then they were like, you know, fair gamed and attacked, but they were just trying to get justice. And so Scientology, it goes way, way back, because it's L. Ron Hubbard policy about you don't do anything that's going to adversely affect Scientology, because Scientology is man's only hope for salvation. And so if Danny Masterson, being a Scientologist, brings in more people, then you can sweep some stuff under the rug. And anyone who, you know, tries to upset the apple cart, they're the target, you know?
Right. So, yeah.
I think so, it's going to backfire, though. Continue to backfire.
We're referencing fair game. So for people who don't know, fair game would be Ron L. Hubbard's law or rule in the church that you can, anybody who seems as a threat, like yourself, or who leaves the church, or journalists, or anybody, right, who seems like an enemy of the church, it's fair game to ruin them almost at any lengths possible.
Yeah. I mean, L. Ron Hubbard's policy says to utterly destroy their enemies. So, and that to no penalty for the Scientologist who does it. So yeah, that's their internal policy.
I watched your YouTube episode with Leia Remini, and that mm-hmm. is her lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And her examples, right, would be that just building websites to just view all kinds of slander, harassment, following people, videoing people, trying to they even interfere in potential job opportunities for you, right? I mean, it's a total annihilation.
They try to stop it. Total annihilation. I mean, I did a video with a private investigator that was hired to watch me at some point at 2009, 2010. And she was with a group of people who were all on me and a couple other people in the Clearwater area. And they had probably like three or four sometimes cars chasing after us everywhere we went. They had cameras in us. They had people befriend us that, you know, pretended to be a friend so that they could get information. And they had cameras trained inside our house to watch our every move inside. They rented the cottage right next to us. They even got rented directly downstairs to see if they could hear us through the floorboards. You know, they threw dead rats in our swimming pool after we had spoken to ABC Nightline. Like, just total intimidation. And meantime, constant phone calls to my stepdad telling him, you know, different things from the Office of Special Affairs. I mean, we always had to work for ourselves because they I have 14 websites, attack sites on me. If you search my name this way or that way or this way or that way, it's going to take you to their stupid website, you know, where it says how I'm so terrible. But none of that stuff is working, and we're just going to continue to expose it. And it didn't shut us up is how I mean it's not working. Yeah, we might not be able to freely go wherever we want to or freely work wherever we want to or whatever, knowing that they're constantly working to destroy us. But it's not working to intimidate us, and we're going to continue to speak out. We even found it was leaked what's called the Office of Special Affairs secret files on their defectors, and it had documents on me that said, and it was before I was even speaking out. It was like, find anything and everything, and who they're in contact with, and you know, what it is that they cherish and destroy it, like, type of thing. And so they're just actively applying L. Ron Hubbard spy techniques to destroy critics, because that's what L. Ron Hubbard said to do. Goes back to him. And it's a policy, so it's not going to change. They're not going to change their stripes.
Right.
That's why the lawsuits are so important, because we need external pressure on Scientology to force them to change their policy and their destructive actions. I'm sorry. I know that I'm going on and on, but boy, this is a topic that gets me fired up.
Yeah, well, it should.
You were in there 27 years, mm-hmm. and you were even sexually assaulted as a young person, right?
14 years old.
Mm-hmm. And that's not an isolation incident. I mean, would you say that's a culture?
The cover-up is what the culture is. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there's other people. I've heard of several other people with a similar situation. So I don't know about a culture, but what I do know happens no matter what, because it's their policy, is to cover up things like this. Never go to the police. It's in their own ethics book. Maybe I could find it. So in their ethics book, it's a high crime to report or threaten to report Scientology or Scientologists to civil authorities in an effort to suppress Scientology or Scientologists from practicing or receiving standard Scientology. So there's like a whole bunch of points that say that and similar things to that, where it is absolutely against Scientology policy to report. You handle within. So when I had the rape situation when I was 14 years old, I was put into what they call a lower condition and made to work through treason, enemy, doubt, liability, and all this. And for my contribution, thank you very much. The man was 35 years old, married, executive in the organization, and I had just gotten there as a 14-year-old. And I'll spare you the details, but he then was later promoted to being in charge of the ethics of all the staff at that organization. Now, he then went on to become a serial child rapist, and he actually went to prison not because of Scientology, who covered up his actions, but because his brother put him there, because his brother's daughter, who was 8 years old, was assaulted by this man. And so my point is that if Scientology would have gone to the authorities or even told my parents or anything, who would have put him in jail at the time, it would have saved other people from being abused by this monster. And the same thing happened with Danny Masterson. So two people get a conviction now, and he's in prison for life without the possibility of parole for 30 years. And apparently there's upwards of like 23 women who have come forward saying that the same thing has happened to them. They just weren't involved with the lawsuit. So this guy's a serial, predator. And a big problem. And Scientology did not handle him and did not take the proper action and covered it up. So they're accessory to the crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you think they're imploding? Do you think that's possible? Or will they just get dents in their armor? Because it's not old. It's when did they start? In the 60s?
Yeah. I mean, 1950 was Dianetics, the book that's...
They only have their second leader, David Miscavige.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been considered a religion very long with a tax exemption. They're very new. And I don't think they're as big as people think they are. They have big celebrity faces.
Mm-hmm.
They only have like 35,000 members or something, don't they? I mean, it's not millions.
Yeah, no.
I think it can implode.
I do too. And like somebody's just pointing out, I'm going to put this up because I just saw it. Tim Greenglass said, "Don't worry, Miss Scobie. This is the information age, and all scamatology can do is make themselves look evil and absurd, nothing but bad publicity." And, you know, that's how I feel about it too, is we are in the information age. And I think that the internet is and will be and will continue to be Scientology's, I don't know, what's the word for it? The thing that's going to take them down.
It's the chunk in their armor, the chink in their armor or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what about chink? I think what most people think, if they take the time, so you think Scientology, and I think Tom Cruise is almost simultaneous, like in your mind with Scientology, because they put celebrities out front. And I think a question always arises in people's minds is, do these people, John Travolta and different people, do they not know what's going on? Do they not, like David Miscavige and Tom Cruise being buddies and whatever, like brothers, when this guy is known for just assaulting and beating his staff, and that there's a problem, are they so isolated that even a major celebrity is so isolated with people that they don't, and they're so against reading social media or watching your things that they just don't know? Or how could they know and continue?
Okay, so I think it's a case by case situation. I think Tom Cruise knows, and and he's complicit in it. And I think that his personality is very similar to Dave Miscavige, and David Miscavige is a sociopath. You know, you've got all this charisma or whatever, but you're really super, super egotistical and evil. And so he knows, and he's supporting Dave and propping him up, and giving him credibility that he should not have. I think John Travolta knows some of the things because he's known people who have left, who were close to him, like Spanky Taylor. And so he knows a lot of these things that are being said are true. I don't know why, you know, in Scientology, you're told all the time that we're bitter, defrocked apostates, which I can't stand those words. Who talks like that anyway? And, you know, with an axe to grind and with, you know, whatever. And, but is it all of us? Do you know how many people are speaking out? There's a list that somebody in Anonymous keeps up, and it's like 3,200 people that with evidence of the links of where they have spoken out against Scientology. And I know that there's way more than that, but that's a lot of people who are coming out and exposing Scientology abuses and crimes. So come on, wake up. And what are you endorsing? You need to be responsible. I actually have no sympathy for these celebrities who will continue to say, oh, Scientology is great because it makes me happy. Okay, well, right. So think about the next person and think about the people who are being abused by it, you know, and stop giving credibility to a cult that is dangerous, and start doing your homework.
In these sessions or the Dianetic sessions, whatever, you know, you're asked intimate questions and you answer them. You tell everything there ever was about you and maybe even more to make them happy. Do you think that some of these are, you know, blackmailed? Their careers will be over if Scientology comes out with some of the stuff they have recorded on them.
I think so. You know, I know that it's a deterrent because they have all the goods. And, you know, I know that like someone like John Travolta will say, I don't want to be videoed or whatever, but next room over is the whole video camera and everything is going, it's going to happen. And they have all the information and it's talked about. And it's not confidential. And like they did with myself and many, many others, they will comb through the files and find anything and everything to used to try to defame you and make you seem like somebody that should not be listened to. And they'll take what's there. Because with me, I got in, I was 14 years old. What are you going to do? You know, I didn't answer a report on time or, you know, kiss somebody before I was married. I mean, or whatever.
Amy, and, you wouldn't.
I know. I'm a repeat adulteress in their eyes. And so they'll just exaggerate it like crazy and fling out all these lies, but to them, it's okay to lie. It's okay to damage other people if they are saying anything negative about Scientology, because that's the policy, number one. And number two, it's their salvation. you know? So
we can keep talking. I'll ask you one question before we start. If you want to keep a glance, we can open it up for questions if people in the comments want to start. And Amy will keep an eye on that and maybe, you know, grab some she wants to answer. But I want to ask you about like these contracts that are crazy, like, you know, the Sea Orgs, you sign a billion year contract to do your job. Is that because it's religion? It sounds ridiculous, but yet they do it. Can that hold up in court?
No. It wouldn't. They even say on their website when they're talking about the Sea Organization that it's just basically a gesture that that you are that dedicated that and you do believe that you live life after life after life. You know, you just kind of roll over into the next life or whatever, and so you're just committing yourself to continue to do that from now on, because you know that it's the only salvation for man. Yeah. So no, it's not going to hold up anything. It's just toilet paper, really, you know? But it is ridiculous because they get a lot of backlash off of it. Why keep doing that? You know, they don't change. Really. There's a lot that they just keep doing. It's like one of these things of, because L. Ron Hubbard said it, it's law. And one of the first policies that you study on every single course you do in Scientology is keeping Scientology working. That's what it's called. And it's the first issue on every course you do. And that policy basically says everything that he says is exact and it is not to be altered. It is not to be questioned. And so, and you hammer out of existence anything that's in addition to it, because it's never worked. It's got to be this way or nothing. And so when he says it, it's law. You know, he's the source. You think that he's like the real God, you know? He even wrote a book, Hymn of Asia. Am I Matea? So this is where this guy was at. Yeah, look, I got you to smile.
All right. Yasmin, I actually know Yasmin. She just sent you a question.
Okay. Put it up. Do you know how to put it up? You just click on it.
Don't teach me in front of everybody. I haven't done it. I'll do it right now. All right.
Just click it. Because I don't see it yet. I'm up. Okay. Were you ever tormented by demons when you were in Scientology?
That's
like
a total Yasmin question.
Huh?
That's a total Yasmin question. That's exactly.
Oh, is it? This is one of your regulars, right?
I predicted that question. That's a good one.
Okay. Well, hi, Yasmin. It's nice to meet you. Was I ever tormented by demons when I was in Scientology, like nightmares, seeing spirits, voices, etc.? Well, you know that Scientologists believe as you go up into the higher levels that you have spirits, like thousands of them, attached to your body and your entire spirit all around you. Around you, attached to you, on you, being body parts, being, you know, whatever. Thetans, and you spend hundreds of hours trying to strip them off with various procedures. And that tormented me because I'm in there for hundreds and hundreds of hours trying to locate these things using the E-meter, which is the electropsychometer that Scientology has that supposedly is measuring, you know, thoughts and density in your thoughts or whatever. And so if it registers on the E-meter, something's supposedly there. So searching constantly for mini spirits all over my body made me nuts. I couldn't take it one more second.
Okay, I'm going to throw up another one here.
Okay.
Next question.
Question, Amy, in the OSA Secret Files papers, have you seen the names Debbie and or Don Bottomstone? I have not seen those names and I don't know who they are, but I also haven't studied all of the OSA files yet because there's like 5,000 of them, 5,000 documents. And what was sent to me had to do with me. So it's not surprising that I wouldn't have seen that. Doesn't mean it's not there for sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say to the people, more questions, bring them in. We'll throw them up.
Yes. I have 15 of them starred, 15 questions starred.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Throw them on in there.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. I'll just start at the top here. Thank you, Jamie. Hell yeah. 10,000. So I got 10,103 the last time I looked. Nice.
And that's YouTube subscribers.
On YouTube subscribers. This one is greetings from Clearwater, Ohio. I wanted to call that out. And I wanted to say, hey, Liz is in the house. So excited, Amy. I'm so happy that you're here, Liz. So much love to you. And just Ken, so that you know who Liz is, her dad has worked for, I don't know how many years, 40 years or something like that, in international management, where I was at, the Golden Era Productions in Hemet. And she was trying to get a hold of her dad one time because she would talk to him and, you know, occasionally see him. And they told him, your dad's dead. Okay. Wow. So for 20 years or so, she thought her dad was dead. Come to find out, he's not. Wow. And so, yeah. Anyway, so she just recently started up a channel, and I've been trying to give her support and encouragement because we need to free her dad. And her dad's name is Bob Ferris, and he's a good, hardworking person, and he should not be. He has a family that loves him. So this anyway, Liz.
I mean, we're in America talking about trying to free people. This is crazy.
Right. I know.
Right. I'm going to throw up a question here.
Go ahead.
This one is from James. I'm going to call him Jimmy. Jimmy was in my youth group when I was a youth leader in the mid 90s. And now he's been a youth minister for years and years.
Oh,
and,
wow.
He's one of the first ones to buy a new Becoming Outlaws trucker hat that I've been selling. So anyways, there's his question for you.
Okay. So James wants to know, to what extent does Scientology recruit new members? What kind of person are they looking for? Really what they're looking for now is next generation, because too many people are informed about what's going on. So a Scientologist, if they have a kid, they want them. But to what extent they recruit new members, you know, I don't know the numbers nowadays, but every organization has a Division 6, which is the public division, which reaches out to people to get them in. And to body route them in. That was my first job in Scientology, was body router. So they call people on the outside bodies. Really? And I was 14 years old and I was a body router, and people thought that I was bringing him to a massage parlor or something. At downtown Seattle. And so I don't know. I think that their biggest recruit pool is the Scientology schools and second generation Scientologists. I want to show this one because my friend Jeff Hawkins is in the house. Hey, Amy, always great to see you. Of course, love you, Jeff. We should do an interview sometime. We will, for sure. We can talk about how you collected my loose change and buttons and sent them to me after DM beat me up. I know. Okay, so that was one of the beatings that I saw. And I know that Jeff got it a couple times by David Miscavige, but I had this little cubby that was right off of the conference table that David Miscavige would come and have his meetings in, and which was unfortunate because he would sit on one side of the table, and then there was this like 14-foot table, and everyone else had to sit on the other side, which was over where my little cubby was. And I was like, I would try to sit there if I wasn't involved in the meeting itself, and you have to be silent and whatever, but I'm, you know, right in the eyeline of Dave. And he would, in Jeff's case, he was like telling everybody, look at Jeff's face, look at how he's looking at me, you know. And then he jumped up on the table and then lunged, landing on Jeff, knocked his chair back, started wrestling with him. And like Jeff's buttons are flying and change is falling out of his pocket. He's totally shocked. Like for one second, he's answering his dumb question about marketing, and Dave didn't like it. So he just reacted and jumped over and started beating him. Anyway,
well, there's
so, yeah.
there's your answer to, have you seen Demon Activity? That sounds like a demon possessed person.
Oh, it's actually a perfect description.
And his temper just randomly beating executives is nuts.
It is very random and scary. Like, Like, yeah. Because, yeah, from one, you know, and it's also completely non sequitur too, because like I'll say, he'll ask me a question and I'll give an answer, and then he'll look at me going, okay, And then he'll say, I hate you as much as I hate this other person, and you know how much I hate that person. Yeah. So you just go, okay, Dave.
Wow.
But and see,
what's the deal with him? Is he kind of in seclusion or half hiding from being indicted, or what is going on with David Miscavige?
I really saw his insanity ramp up after Scientology got tax exempt status, because now he doesn't have to be supervised, and he can do what he's going to, whatever he's going to do with all the money. They have billions of dollars. And I really saw his ego shoot out the roof. He was always intense, but now this is when I started seeing him beat people. The other thing is, when Lisa McPherson died, she was a prisoner at the Flag Land base. He got, he was involved. Like, he was case supervising, he's not even trained case supervisor in Scientology's even standards. And he, was case supervising her, and she died on his watch. So that had to be all covered up, and they spent like Matt was treasury at the time, and he said their reserve of $50 million was depleted for that case and all the things that they were doing with that. So, and I'm sure it was much more than that. That was just what was in the local reserves. So anyway, he's got a lot of dirt on his hands, and it's all going to come to the surface one day.
It's going
to
end bad.
We'll be told.
There isn't any organization like this where it hasn't ended bad. Meaning, right. This guy is going to end up in prison.
Yep.
So bad for him. Or he's going to end up tragically taking his life, or somebody will take it. It just seems like something's going to go down at some point.
Yeah.
This is all coming to a head.
It is coming to a head. And he will do anything not to get into a lawsuit. And all five of these name him.
Even all his five. Wife's situation. She hasn't.
She's
it
disappeared.
Sounds like she's around, but she's like a princess locked in a castle since 2006. And he's been kind of running around with a secretary or something, hasn't he?
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. She's been, Shelly Miscavige has been disappeared since about 2000 and I don't know, 4 or 5. And no one's seen her since. There was like there's a whole thing that I could talk about on it. There's a lot of reports that have come out. And one time the police went and checked on her, supposedly, but, you know, the camera for the restaurant where they met, they didn't even meet at a police station. They met at a restaurant, and the camera, the footage was all blurred during that time. And they didn't get a proper thumbprint or handprint. It was all totally smeared when they should have used an electronic one that doesn't do that. It's just like a whole thing is just weird. And I don't know who's being paid to do what, but it's weird. And we don't have answers. Yeah. And I think you're right. It's going to end bad for Scientology and for David Miscavige, because he's got so many skeletons in the closet. You know,
you can't have these many accusations, this many mm-hmm. where they look legit piling up. And then everyone finally, it's kind of like a U2 movement for cults lately, or bad characters. They're just, you can't do it anymore.
Right. No.
Come after you. And the law is so slow when it has to do with the religion. Almost till right. It's too late and tragic. Something always goes down.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I have several more questions here, which right. I can go through. What does it say? You can be against sex abuse in the Boy Scouts and not be against camping. I think that's very true. Question for Amy. It says, since you were talking about the PIs, just how far will COS, meaning Cult of Scientology, let them go before they can get sued for harassment along with COS? They are guilty as well. I agree. I really agree. You know, I don't know if there's any specific PIs on that are known on these upcoming cases, but, you know, that's something to really, I know the ones that were on me. Like Dwayne Powell And anyway, I don't know. He was the one that was also on Ron Miscavige Sr. And he was getting paid $10,000 a week. And he was arrested because he was acting suspiciously as he was stalking. I'm just trying to get that one off. As he was stalking Ron Miscavige. And so the police came and checked, and he had like all this ammunition and firepower and silencer in his car and all this stuff. And, you know, it came up that he was being paid by Scientology $10,000 a week to follow around David Miscavige's dad, who left and who wasn't even speaking out at the time.
Wow.
You know? Crazy. Yeah, it's totally crazy. Okay. And the next one is from Sirwana. So I don't know. So
they happy, like, Amy. You've got 10,000.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for that. I don't know about this one. Amy's both a celebrity and a scholar. I don't think I'm either. The next one is, we just did that one. Apostate Alex is in the house, and I so appreciate Apostate Alex. He reports on everything UK. He's in the United Kingdom. He used to be one of the biggest booksellers for Scientology in the world. So he says, hi, Amy, just popping in to say hi and thank you for everything you do. Your strength, courage, and determination inspires me to keep fighting the fight. Wow. Well, ditto, back to you, really. Love Sherlock says, let him know that Scientology per LRH are only for the able, to make them more able. So there's no charity with LRH and his cult of Scientology. Oh, and you have to be heterosexual to stay in, and until lately, white. So yeah, this is a good point, because it's so unlike any Christian church whatsoever, because there isn't any charity in Scientology. They try to appear with their yellow shirts and volunteer minister things that they go to disaster relief and do cleanups or whatever, but it's really for photo ops. Yeah. So they can collect money from their parishioners for such activities, and they can make people think that they're a worldwide accepted church, you know, and that their money is being used for good things. But really, go there, take pictures, and come back and not do any real help. In fact, in the United Kingdom, I wish Alex could tell us here, but they can't apply for tax exempt status there anymore. It's rejected, and they let certain amount of time elapse to the point where they can't apply anymore. So they have no tax exempt status in the United Kingdom, and they can't get it. They're unqualified. Really? Because they couldn't prove that they're a charitable organization. Yeah, I know. But they tried to prove that they are a charitable organization, but it kept getting rejected because anything that they showed was for themselves, never for somebody else.
Being a 503c, a charitable organization, is one thing. Being a religion is another. And if people hear the Church of Scientology, they don't go to church. They don't meet every Saturday or Sunday and attend and worship something. That doesn't mm-hmm. exist. Mm-hmm. They don't believe in a God or whatever in this after. It's all about kind of just a money scheme. And
yeah,
that, if they do that, charitable work, that's great, but that's not a religion. You can still get a tax exemption at 503c, I guess, but the word church should never have been attached to Scientology.
Never. And they, in order to get tax exemption, they had certain parameters that they had in the United States they had to meet. And so they would do all of these things to quote unquote meet it, and then submit and get approval, and a lot of blackmail in order to get it, by the way, because there were 2,000 lawsuits on IRS agents that they said, if you would give us our tax exemption, they'll turn off like a faucet. Oh, okay. Yeah. But then as soon as that's done, then it's like all over and they don't have to do it anymore. Like, for example, the Sunday services. We were all laughing about Sunday services. We didn't do Sunday services. We don't have like church or, you know, chaplains or chapel, whatever. Like, yeah, we didn't do that stuff in Scientology.
So this is a when I first had you on a program, which probably most of these people haven't heard or well, you did replay some of it on your channel, so yes. Maybe they did. But if I recall right, it was because you were giving your testimony. So in a brief summary, what I was so glad we met and talked and you're willing to come on, because it's so rare for anybody coming out of a cult to ever be involved in organized religion again. And not only did you do that, you became a Christian. And so in my view, that's good. If from someone on the outside who doesn't quite get it, it would be, and you probably know, is like you just went from one cult to another, or someone has some emotional problems and they need some kind of religion. And the last thing you want is to align yourself with any membership, any signing a contract or whatever of a church. What?
So that last word cut out. What was it? Happened? What happened? What happened? Okay. Well, the last thing I wanted anything to do with was religion when I left Scientology. I mean, I've said it many times, like somebody come to my door trying to, you know, give me a leaflet or whatever for something. I was like, I tell them, you came to the wrong house and I couldn't shut the door in your face fast enough. I just didn't want to have anything to do with it. It was finally feeling some sense of freedom being out of there after a lifetime in an abusive cult. And it was super, super abusive. I talk all about that on my site. But so the last thing I wanted to know about or hear about or think about was religion. I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and it changed me. It changed me instantly. And it was so supernatural. It wasn't like there was no questioning what it was and where it was coming from. It was just unbelievable, supernatural change where my heart of stone was completely broken apart and replaced with the heart of flesh. I suddenly, this compassion welled up in me like nobody's business, where I felt like I need to adopt every dog in the world. I need to go to every old folks home to help people. I need to find every single person who's asking for money and give them my entire bank account. Like my whole, like everything totally just changed. I couldn't quit smoking. I smoked since I was 9 years old. I smoked a lot. And even when I told my husband that, oh yeah, both my parents smoked and I was sneaking theirs by the time I was 9. And by the time I was 12, I was smoking in front of both of my parents. Oh. That's
all right. Good parenting.
And but I quit like that second. I haven't had a puff of a cigarette since that second when this happened, you know, and there's all kinds of different things that happened. And it was such a huge transformation of where I was super dead inside. And you know, I can't, it's hard to explain that. After being in a cult, being abused, being on the Rehabilitation Project Force, which is their slave labor re-education camp 4 times, and the RPF's RPF, where you can't even talk to RPF people, I was so beat down, and I escaped, and it was wonderful. And I praise my husband for giving me the strength to be able to get out of there, because I don't know if I would have been able to do it by myself, really. But the transformation that I received was so supernatural and so holy and so clearly from God. And the communication was so clear into my spirit, direct, immediate communication. And I don't have a church that I go to. I tried, and the second that anyone says now we're supposed to, I just right away, you know, right. But I have like studied and studied and studied, and I have a relationship with God, and I pray often, and it's a relationship and not a religion. And so that's me. And I don't, you know, if somebody wants to do, everyone can do their own thing, but I had my experience, and no one could ever convince me that God doesn't exist, because he does to me.
He does. Yeah. But I got to back up though. And I would think other people are thinking it. So out of the blue, God touches you. Was there anything you can see that it's aligned with that? Was somebody praying for you? Were you seeking any kind of truth? Or were you doing some kind of prayers? If there is a God and something's real, is there anything you can see that brought on that relationship? or just
I think there's a number of things, because my brother, we went different ways in life, because when I got in Scientology at age 14, he was 15 years old, and Scientology locked him in a room and said he couldn't leave until he signed a contract to be on staff. And he was there all day refusing. And then finally he signed it, and then they let him out of the room. He never stepped another foot in a Scientology organization after that. And he left home and all this kind of stuff. We joined the Sea Org, and so we were apart the whole 25 years I was in the Sea Org. And the Sea Org is Scientology's management, live in, work in, they feed you, they uniform you, they, you know, house you, everything. And they don't pay you. and they don't
work
really
a billion years, work a yeah. billion years and make <It's> nothing. Really...
and so he became a Christian. And so he was the whole time I was gone praying for me to be able to get out of the cult, because he felt like it was a dangerous cult, get out of the cult and come back to the family. So that was going on. I had no idea that he never told me that one time, not that I was talking to him very often either. One time after I left the Sea Org, I went to LA to help, because of my logistics experience, to help on some faith-based films, getting the, it's when you do showings to people, pre-screenings, so that then those people would then tell their people to watch the show when it came, the movie when it came out. So we were doing screenings of The Shack and Ben-Hur and the movies with Lionsgate. And so it was all these religious leaders that would come in for these screenings. And I was setting up the screenings and stuff. And the Scientology and the Aftermath show was airing at the time when I was doing this for The Shack. And one of these big religious leaders recognized me at the screening and said, "Oh my God, I just saw you on Scientology and the Aftermath, and my entire congregation prayed for you and your family."
Wow.
My stomach like dropped to my, like, or my heart dropped into my stomach, or however you say it. I was shocked. I was so touched by, you don't even know me, and that you would have your whole congregation say prayers for me. That was amazing. And the Shack movie also, I started getting a few wheels turning, like, because that really touched me as well. And then when I was back home, a couple things happened. One is I started working as a celebrant, I officiated funeral services because my mom had passed, and I did her service, which was beautiful. And I really poured my whole heart into it, because it really hurt when she died. I never felt anything when I was in Scientology, and you learn not to have sympathy, and or human emotion and reaction is really frowned upon. And if repeated, it's an RPF offense to show case on poster, human emotion and reaction,
human.
Right? To be human. So, and I never went home, and like, you just, like, my dad had a heart attack, and I didn't leave to go and see him, and it was disapproved. I tried to, but anyway. And so when she passed, I really poured my heart into celebrating her life. And then it was like, you know, maybe you should do that as a living. Some people were telling me that, including my husband. So the second I started a company called Graceful Farewell, the first place I promoted it to hired me as a celebrant for the entire Seattle market, and they've got like 20 funeral homes or whatever. So and then once a year they have a training for the celebrants in different places around the United States, and you have to book way ahead of time. Well, it just so happens that it was going to be the next day in my town where I lived, and they had openings. So it was a divine assignment. Everything was just, all the doors were opening. And so I went and did the training, and within a couple of days I was there. We may now lower the casket. and people started asking me to do prayers. for the funeral services that I was doing. And oh my gosh, like, I don't know what a prayer is. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to learn. I tried to get my fellow celebrants to take over any service where somebody asked for a prayer because I didn't know how to do it. And then, so I got stuck doing it. And so I said, okay, well, how do you end it? Like, some people say this, some people say that. What do I say? And anyway, so I had to like start, I ordered a Bible and I started like looking in it and I just got so confused. What are these numbers? Who are these people? You know, I didn't understand any of it. And so then I ordered a baby Bible, baby picture book Bible. And I started with that. And then
I got somewhere.
And then I got a teen picture book. And then I started watching videos online with the Bible Project, because they have illustrated chapters of the Bible in there, which are so easy to understand. And I just went from there in terms of having to, you know, learn to be able to do my job. And it was in the midst of that when it happened. But it wasn't a decision by me. It was God put his hand on me and said, now's the time. And it was just an instant transformation. I gave myself to God. I said, I'm yours. And let me be your light and your love in this dark world. And that's what I'm hoping to do now.
That is what you're doing. So yeah, let it be a lesson and encouragement to anybody listening or that will hear this later, is that prayer, praying for loved ones matters.
It does matter.
When people come to your mind, they may never know you prayed for them, but if they come to your mind, they're to your mind for a purpose, because God's wanting to do something with them, and he's wanting to answer the prayer, and he's urging you to pray it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Want to answer more?
I believe that. Yes. Okay. So here we go. Let's see. This is from Jill J. Just wanted to pop in and say congrats on 10,000. We'll have to catch up on replay. Beautiful. Alex, Apostate Alex says, Scientology says they're the fastest growing religion, but actually they're the fastest shrinking religion in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. I wish I had real statistics to be able to show, you know, because I don't. But by all indications of how busy Scientology organizations are around the world, because people report in saying, okay, these guys are closed, or I see one person sitting at a reception desk or whatever, you can tell that they're really not booming and bustling like they would hope you thought, you know. This is from Don Lambert that says, question, Amy, in the OSA secret files and papers, have you seen the names Debbie? I saw that one before, right? And I didn't see that. Sorry.
Right. Yep. You answered that one.
Yep. James, to what extent does Scientology recruit new members? I think, I don't know why that's restarring itself, because I took the star off. So this one is OBG Foster, who is davidmiscavige.com. Question, did anybody get any job training from outside the Sea Org, or just jump into it like you did with the electric? You know, it's so funny. Yeah, you're constantly told in the Sea organization that you've lived so many lives that you've done it all, and you're expected to do a job, had it or not, trained or not. That's what they say. That's the motto. Had it or not, trained or not, make it go right and persist until you do. So I was given the job of doing the high voltage electrical on a sound studio and the electronics. And, along with other people, and we figured it out. Sometimes they would have, depending on the timetable, sometimes they would have outside contractors come in to supervise, or probably because they needed to have some sort of a code check or something, you know. But if they could get away with it, it would just be Sea Org labor. All right, the next one is, hi, Amy, I was just wondering if you knew Lisa Marie Presley. Yes, I did. Mm. You know, obviously, I left in 2005. Probably the last time I saw her was around 2000, but not since then at all. But yes, I did know her. Anyway,
she just seems like a sad soul.
Yeah,
Or she did.
Yeah, Scientology wasn't handling that. You know, she needed something other than Scientology.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Wonder Woman question, when Scientology loses tax exempt status, do you think it will make existing members take pause in their blind religious faith to Scientology? You know,
or if the government won't claim them as a religion.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, trying to put myself back in the shoes of, God forbid, of a Scientologist, and thinking, like, okay, see what's done when with any kind of thing like that, like a, let's say, a lawsuit lost, or you know, if Scientology's tax exemption was taken away, it's a rally call in Scientology to get people to donate and get more active because they're being attacked because they're so successful. And there's even LRH references about if people are clamoring and making noise, that to that degree Scientology is successful. How's that for stupid? This one says, did DM beat women too? He had his assistant do that. His communicator, Larice Stuckenbrock.
That's like a job responsibility.
Yeah.
A job responsibility. Will you beat the women?
I know. But he strangled me around my neck one time when he was really mad at me for not writing a speech, his speech, to his liking. Like, write your own speech then, dude.
When he finally gets convicted in prison, part of his punishment should be that he gets a beating every day for the rest of his life.
Right. Like, you can't just beat people your whole, you know, for years on end. And also lock them up. I mean, there's, make them walk around on your knees with your pants rolled up so that you get, you know, scabby, unhealing knees. Mike Rinder has scars still on his knees from that. He just kept making these people walk on their knees, probably because he's so short that he needed people down on the ground to be at his level. Anyway, gets me angry. Rebecca Corbin says, yay, Amy passed 10,000. Thank you. Now she can participate in the Aftermath fundraiser. Yes. So this is Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern is going to be a fundraiser for the Aftermath Foundation. And the Aftermath Foundation, for anyone who doesn't know, is a foundation that I'm a member of on the board, and so is my husband, as well as several other people. And it helps people leaving Scientology with the funds that they need to get them reset up. And there's this really wonderful video that shows of somebody that was helped by the Aftermath Foundation named Surge. And boy, if that doesn't touch your heart and make you pull out the Kleenex, I don't know what will. So yes, we're continuing, and we have so many things going on right now in that front. So it's really, really wonderful. Thank you.
I really
you for
love your YouTube that. Community here.
Yes.
Oh, very supportive of you. Are they
very
are these
supportive.
People? How many of them? You mentioned a couple, but how many are former Scientologists, or why are they so engaged with you?
Not many at all are former Scientologists. Very few, if any. Very few are former Scientologists, and they're never ends, is what they call themselves. Never ends. And they follow it because it's, you know, one time Anonymous in 2000 and what was it, 7? Just 10,000 people from Anonymous started protesting all Scientology churches around the world at one time because they were trying to take stuff off of the internet and squelch freedom of speech. And they just came to the rescue to fight against their, you know, violation of human rights. People can say what they want to say. And also then the next protest that they did with thousands of people was against disconnection. And that's what, to me, I was like, these people have our backs. If I want to come out, I felt that it would be safe for me to come out and speak out at that time where it wasn't safe before that. And it's so it wasn't totally safe because they did a lot of fair game. But at the same time, I felt like if they did something to me, the world would see it. And these people are standing up for human rights. And so yeah. they're so supportive. They're there. They're spreading the word. They're getting the word out that Scientology is a dangerous cult. And I've never seen such an amazing community. They know how much I love them. I've never seen anything like it. And I just appreciate them 100%. And they're there because they know that it's wrong. It's fascinating because it's like, how does it even attract anybody? And why is Tom Cruise in there? That might have been the initial like question or something. I don't know. But it'd be fun to ask. I should interview some of my channel people just to say, what interested you about this?
Do you have any left?
Well, I'm just going to throw, I haven't been looking while I was looking at the stars to see if anything, but this says, yes, Amy, Christ will protect you and will guide you on this issue. Stay strong and wear all your armor for extra protection. Yes. Thank you so much. I love that comment. This one's, thank you for reading your book online. For those of us with vision problems, it's a great book. I'm doing that. I'm doing chapter by chapter, reading my book as a video with my added commentary. So I'll read something and I'll add to it my real thoughts. yes. I don't know if there's a lot more here because I wasn't looking while I was in the
So if you posted a comment and we missed it, throw it in again real quick.
Yeah, throw it in so that we can, if you have a question.
And you mentioned disconnection. We didn't really define that. So disconnection is the policy of disconnecting from even loved ones that are, what's the word they use again? It's not subversive. It's the, when you're labeled like
suppressive,
kind of an end, suppressive. When you're labeled suppressive, someone that, whether it's your own kids, like Mike Rinder doesn't need to, even still has family in there and he can't see them.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a son and a daughter in there. And then they use his daughter to go to all these different functions to stand up for people who are abused, that because she's got an abusive dad. Like that's how they use her. It's so sick. It's so sick. But yeah, they will, whatever's to their benefit, they're going to do. So if it's break up the family, you know, or keep Danny Masterson's whole family in because they're money makers or something like that. You know, it depends. Well,
that's what I mean. With that mentality and those kind of policies, the more pressure they get, the worse it's going to get. That's why I was saying it's all going to come to a head and it's not going to be pretty.
Yes. This is from Lori Driscoll. She says she's a never in. Stumbled upon a Ron Miscavige interview or something with Leah and Aaron, and suddenly SPTV was blooming. SPTV people rock. Yeah, so like maybe somebody will see one video and then as soon as you're in, we all tell each other about all the different video channels and support each other's channels. Like today, Aaron said, oh, by the way, if you haven't subscribed to Amy's channel, go over there and subscribe because she needs 10,000 for the fundraiser. And all of a sudden I got 10,000. So yeah, because he's got almost 200,000. So that helps. There's a lot of interest. There's a lot of interest and it's really appreciated, everybody, you know. Because it's not a lot of voices compared to what there could be. I've got a whole list of the people who I think should be speaking out who aren't, that have a lot of information, but day by day, more and more people are coming forward. So we'll just have to,
So we're winding down questions. I'll remind the people that are from my side of the tracks here watching on YouTube or my Facebook that Amy has her own channel. Yep. On YouTube, that's where she does her stuff and hangs out. At Queen Bee, is it dash SP?
Yes, it's at Queen Bee dash SP.
Yeah, so and go over there. Yeah, I'm
if
sorry.
You just, sign up or just thing. Say Amy Scobie. Yeah, you can find me.
Yep, Amy Scobie. And then for your folks, where you can find me is I throw videos on YouTube, but I'm really a podcaster.
Yes.
So I'm on Facebook as well, but really, I just tell people becomingoutlaws.com. There you can find all the outlets and which one you like, and you know, shows you the podcast channels. And,
right. You have some really fun guests Interesting stories. Good guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like you mentioned, there's people like John Schneider, and I do have people that come out of other kind of suppressive religions. I just had a former Amish guy talking about what goes on there. And just today I recorded, I do scholars too. So the canon, like how the New Testament come about, or a guy who came out on a book with Soren Kierkegaard, a philosopher, in his view on the changelessness of God and how that affects our life.
Wow.
Scholarly, there's cult material, celebrities. Yeah, it's a hodgepodge, but
fun. Yes, I want to show two more things here. One is from OBG Foster, who is davidmiscavige.com. It says, I'm a never end willing to be interviewed. Maybe my lost brother will see it and reconnect. Send me an email, amy@scobie-publishing.com. I'll help you. And this one, which is
families, is just so, I know. So awful. It's so awful.
That's their kryptonite. That's what's going to come back and bite them the most. This is from Sarita Fisher. I just love this comment. It says, love you, Amy, and God in your heart. Don't have to go to church to worship. You're his temple. And I really appreciate that. I know, I don't feel any less than a child of God than somebody who, you know, is in a building, you know, because it's a relationship that is, I just cherish it. And I love it. And it's so dear and precious to me. And that's the only thing that really matters, I think. And I like-minded people. I love a community of people who believe in God and stuff like that. They seem to be super, super nice. The light of God shining through them, you know. Anyway.
Did we reach the end?
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And I hope you found this interesting. Thank you, Ken, for being an amazing host, as always.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thank you to all those. They're mainly, I know we have people on mine, but I'm really impressed with the loyalty of your crowd. They're even interested in what was going on behind you, if your husband was making coffee or what kind of dog you have. It was all pretty entertaining.
Yeah, they like to see I have my furry fruits, they call them, because their names are Mango and Kiwi. My two dogs, Mango and Kiwi, my furry fruits. They love it when they come in here.
Very good. All right. Well, thanks again, Amy. And we'll have to do this again sometime.
Yes. Yeah. God bless you. And God bless everybody watching.
All right. Good night.
Counted among the outlaws, he said, come follow me. People from all walks of life since have been becoming outlaws.